Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, February 13th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Minister Christopher Mtsangwa has been expelled from the War Veterans Association for allegedly undermining the authority of President Mugabe. A ZANU-PF lawmaker and an MDCT senior official say there's no room for factionalism in their parties.
Factionalism must be eradicated. It definitely is not, it does not build, it destroys. And therefore, we say that we don't want something that is destructive.
A Zimbabwean living in Ireland spearheads the empowerment of children back home. And as usual, we'll take a closer look at women's issues. War Veterans Minister Christopher Mtsangwa and his wife Monica have been expelled from the War Veterans Association following claims that they were undermining the authority of President Robert Mugabe. Reports say they were suspended together with War Veterans leaders Hetman Moyo and Peter Matema Tanda. They are accused of supporting a ZANU-PF faction allegedly led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, said to be eyeing the presidency. Matema Tanda told Studio 7 he's not going anywhere. There was no comment from the Mtsangwas. For more details, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Zimbabwean lawmakers say there is no room for factionalism in their parties. Joseph Chuma, who is a ZANU-PF Central Committee member and lawmaker for Pelandaba Mpopoma, argues that the current internal strife in the party pitting groups eyeing the succession of 91-year-old President Robert Mugabe is fertile ground for democracy. But Abednego Pepe of the MDCT believes that this may be caused by a leadership vacuum in the ruling party. Chuma starts by spelling out what factionalism is capable of doing in political parties.
Definitely, it is imperative that let us focus on building our nation. Let us focus on making sure that Zimbabwe goes ahead.
And what about the issue of, you know, factionalism? The Politburo is saying there's no room for that. Is that possible, really?
It is possible. If people listen, factionalism must be eradicated. It definitely is not, it does not build, it destroys. And therefore, we're saying that we don't want something that is destructive. We want something that they abuse.
Mr. Pepe, do you think that factionalism is something that can be eliminated from political parties like ZANU-PF? Or they continue fighting?
Well, I'm not qualified to discuss factionalism because we don't have factionalism in our party. We respect each other. We know that we are actually preparing and getting ourselves ready to actually rescue Zimbabwe from the problem that they are facing right now. So for me to talk about factionalism, particularly in ZANU-PF, I'm not qualified. You can actually ask Mr. Chuma to discuss about the factionalism that we have all seen as Zimbabweans. And we believe that this factionalism is one that is taking Zimbabwe back, is one that is diverting the attention of Zimbabweans to focus on their problems that they are facing right now, particularly over hunger and the economic decline.
There you are, Mr. Chuma. So Mr. Pepe is saying this factionalism is actually letting down Zimbabweans. Is that the case?
Some of these things are media created. The media will blow things out of proportion up to a point whereby you really see somebody who is not even your enemy to become like sort of your enemy. So all we are saying is that we are coming to a point whereby we are saying let's put things clear, let's all understand each other properly. Mr. Pedro will be actually lying to himself when he says their party is clear of that. It's full of that as well. But the basic thing that let us face reality in whatever we do, let's be sincere, let's be honest, and say how do we move forward, how do we make things better for Zimbabwe, for our nation. And when we look at those things in that kind of perspective, then we are beginning to be nationalists. We are beginning to be real people facing real problems in life, which are there everywhere. They are there. But if we are on denial, then we will not sort out these problems because we will always be on denial. But if we agree to say, no, here is a problem, and the time maybe let's agree to disagree, then that is a better way out. So what we're saying is that whatever has been happening, thank God the Politburo has sat down and has put parameters of how we move forward and hopefully for the better of our nation. Because in whatever we do, Zimbabwe comes first.
And Mr. Pepper, I think you heard Mr. Chuma saying even in MTC there's some factionalism. Is it true?
As far as I know, there's no factionalism that exists in our party, and we still know that there's no factionalism. We know how to deal with it. We respect our members, we respect our people, and we will not be in those kind of things. Our goal is to make sure that we substitute the failed team of people that have failed to govern this country and make Zimbabwe a better country.
Hmm. And now let's talk about this center of power, Mr. Chuma. Does it mean that if ZANU-PF has got one center of power, which is President Robert Mugabe, nobody else should talk about him? You know, it should be like, yes, he's the leader, and that's it.
Leaders are given mandates to carry out their duties, and our president right now has got that mandate. We won resoundingly in 2013, and he's got up to 2018 when the next elections are slated for. So for now, definitely, why must you be talking or questioning about the presidency?
That was Joseph Chuma of ZANU-PF. You also heard from Abednego Pepe, MTCT Organizing Secretary. A Zimbabwean living in Ireland is currently spearheading the empowerment of children back home. Admo Bonani Mlilo works in the Irish capital, Dublin, says he's helping several schools together with at least 28 colleagues in ensuring that children in Kezi, Matabele in the South Region, get good education.
I'm from a rural area called Kezi in Supo. So we have got a secondary school there. And we discovered that as former students that the area doesn't have a secondary school nearby. Then there is this secondary school which was built some few years ago, and it has got only two blocks. Those blocks were not having chairs, and they were not painted, and they were not plastered. So the kids, they have to travel for a long journey to write exams in another secondary school which is nearby there, which is about 17 to 20 kilometers.
What exactly are you doing for the school?
Blind as former student, we had a group called Support Development Project. Then we started by having a first project, which was the prize giving. We gave the students some prizes. Then after that, we painted the secondary school. We were having those two blocks, we painted them. After that, we discovered that the teachers, they don't stay in that school for a long time. They just come and go. So we discovered that there is no cottages for them to be sleeping there. So we arranged and we built a 5-bedroom cottage.
That was Admo Bonani Mlilo, a Zimbabwean living in Dublin, Ireland, speaking with Studio 7. Tomorrow will be Valentine's Day. Our reporter Patricia Mtitatigwa did a vox pop in Harare about how businesses are performing right now and what people will be doing for their loved ones, and filed this report.
Shops in the city centre have increased their red merchandise, which is a colour associated with Valentine's Day. Most shops are selling wrapped gifts. For Adam Amandishe, Valentine's Day is a special day for him and his loved one, and he intends to do something special.
Valentine, I intend to go out. I'll go out for dinner with my partner. I'm planning of going to Pakari Pai. I know Oliver Mtukuze and Suleiman Chimbe will be playing there. Some romantic songs, so I'll be there. That's what I'll do.
However, Eli Antali, another Harare resident, said the prevailing economic difficulties in the country will not allow him to buy goodies for his loved one.
With the current economic conditions, I think it's an uneven. Things are difficult. You can't please the one that you love due to the economic situation. It's difficult for everyone. Even the drought that is currently wreaking havoc, it makes difficult for someone to look for anything other than food.
Samson Matembo shared the same views.
The economy, as you are aware, it's not that it's very difficult, so I haven't planned for it. Of course, in the previous years, I've planned for it, but this time I'm broke. I don't have any money to celebrate such issues like Valentine. And we've since agreed with my partner that it's just a normal day.
For Talent Sbanda, a local city man, religion prevents him from marking Valentine's Day.
I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't believe in Valentine. It was started by those who want gifts and who have commercialized the event. It was started by pagan religions way back, and it's unscriptural to, so I don't believe in Valentine.
Boutique owners like Cecilia Mavesere said Valentine's Day sales appear to be very low this year.
This year the business has been very, very low. We have not made much like we used to do in the past years. I used to make large profits, but unfortunately this year we have not made much.
Yeah, views were echoed by Abigail Chivi, who said there's no way the sales can go up this year due to current harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe.
Volumes are low compared to the previous years. I think this is mainly due to the economic hardship, so profits are very low.
Valentine's Day is celebrated on February the 14th every year. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States joins the international community in expressing zero tolerance for female genital mutilation, cutting. This practice, said President Barack Obama, harms and holds back entire communities. It has no place in any community and undermines efforts to empower women and girls. At least 200 million women and girls alive today have undergone female genital mutilation. The latest figures from UNICEF show that nearly 70 million more girls than previously thought have been subject to this barbaric practice. Female genital mutilation cutting includes all procedures that involve the partial or total removal of external female genitalia or injury to the female genital organs for non-medical reasons. There is no excuse for such blatant human rights violations of women and girls. As President Obama said, just because this is a tradition in some places does not make it right. This practice is harmful and therefore wrong wherever it occurs. That's why the U.S. has funded programming to combat female genital mutilation and cutting in places like Guinea. At home, the United States has criminalized the transport of girls to undergo female genital mutilation, worked with religious leaders and community-based organizations to raise awareness, especially in some immigrant communities where the pressures to engage in this practice remain, and provided grant opportunities for domestic, non-governmental organizations implementing innovative prevention strategies. The United States stands with communities at home and around the globe working to prevent female genital mutilation and cutting. We call on girls and their families, teachers, health workers, community and religious leaders, and government officials to act together to make a difference, said President Obama. It's time to put an end to this harmful practice and to allow communities everywhere to meet their full potential by enabling women and girls to meet theirs.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight on the Women's Forum, we're gladly joined by Pastor Dr. Lucia Gunguo of Eternal World Ministries Zimbabwe, who will be talking to us about the significance of Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow, and how it can help cement love within the family. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Gunguo.
Thank you so much.
From your observation, what is the significance of Valentine's Day?
I think Valentine's is a day when people are just celebrating their love, you know, and where people get to renew maybe their vows, get to show each other how much they love each other, and it's just a moment of celebration. People are celebrating their love.
Also, most people say that Valentine this year comes at a time when everybody is going through some challenges due to the drought and the financial crisis. But what can people do to make this day special, even with all those problems facing them?
You know, morality. My way of thinking is, I think love has nothing to do with material things, because when we look at foundation of love, or when first two people met, it was never about gifts or anything. Like in our culture, the very first day when a guy meets a girl, it's about weight, you know? So love should be best on words, not on material things. So I think even if it's a difficult time, we can still just feel well and make someone feel so loved, and, you know, boost their confidence, and they know they are well appreciated. So it's never about, you know, material things. It's about just strengthening people's love through words and appreciation.
So what's your advice to some women listening out there who are wondering what can they do for their loved ones during this special Valentine's Day tomorrow?
I think just spending quality time with their husband will work the magic. And vice versa, it's not only women, but also men. They should, you know, take their time with their wives and, you know, spend quality time, reaffirm their love, tell their spouse how much they appreciate them. I think that would do the magic.
What other little things can people do which are not requiring cash for them to be able to show their loved ones that they do care on this special day of Valentine's Day?
That's a good question. Just to marry the people, you know, there are lots of things that we can do. Look at the way we're creating our bodies, you know. Lots of kissing, lots of hugs. So there's a lot that one can do without having to give money or to buy some gifts.
And also, there is a talk that this year's Valentine's Day falls in a leap year, where women can actually ask men to marry them. And young girls now who are adopting the Western culture are saying there's nothing wrong with that. What's your view about this?
I think we are African and we are proud of our culture. We're a girl or a lady is respected and they have to be pursued. Let Westerners do their own Western thing, and as Africans, keep our own good culture. So I'm not encouraging women to go after men. We want that pride to be pursued. So that even tomorrow in your marriage, you know, a guy will not tell you, I was not interested, it was actually you who was pursuing me. So I would say, let's just stick to our culture and let the Beyonce's and the Westerners do their stuff.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Dr. Pastor Lucy Agunguo of Eternal World Ministries, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Oh, thank you so much for calling me. Hey, this will be great. Happy Valentine's.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye saying, join me again next week when we look at other issues affecting women. And have a happy Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye. And finally, in sports news, the National Sports Stadium was full to the brim last weekend when Zimbabwe hosted a special rugby event. Our reporter Michael Kariati has more details.
Who is who in Zimbabwean sport was at the National Sports Stadium over the weekend to cheer not their favorite local teams but foreign clubs. Even politicians like Cabinet Ministers Superman Wanzira Walter Mzembe and Sports Minister Makosi Hlongwane were there to join in the festivities. Caps United supporter Francis Kawawa said he was surprised by the huge turnout, adding that the event was peaceful, unlike what is used to in football matches.
I saw peaceful fans and I enjoyed everything.
Although the crowd was big by Zimbabwean standards, Vodacom Bull supporter Mark Brittle said this was nothing compared to the people who watched such matches in South Africa.
I think in South Africa you've got crowds of 40, 50,000 people. I don't know how many people here. We were looking at probably about 12, 13,000. So I think this is not a bad crowd, but obviously the numbers in South Africa, they can fill stadium. But whatever crowd we got here is just a wonderful atmosphere.
The Zimbabwe rugby program has been suspended due to non-availability of funds following the withdrawal of Flyon Lager as the sponsors of the competition. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
And now to recap today's top stories. Minister Christopher Mtsangwa has been expelled from the War Veterans Association for allegedly undermining the authority of President Robert Mugabe. And a ZANU-PF lawmaker and an NPCT senior official say there's no room for factionalism in their parties. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night. And happy Valentine's Day, Zimbabwe.